And over a period, that animal's colouring, nature, whatever, will evolve to fit its new environment. And this is this two-way process going on between the brain of and DNA of the, quote, individual experiencing the matrix and the central matrix computer that is holding the whole thing together. And the more that I understand this, the more those Matrix movies were absolutely spot on in their in the concept and themes of the way they portrayed the illusory reality that we live in.
Wow. So when you say it's like a crystalline substance, like, do you have more data as far as what it actually is based on the, you know, the known science community?
Well, everything that exists in physical form is actually a waveform itself. You know, it depends what level you're talking about. When I say, for instance, everything exists in physical reality, not outside of us, but in our heads, even our heads are also part of the illusion. In the end, these are all thought forms that take various manifestations. But this alternative hero, a friend of mine, Mike Lambert, who's done a big study of DNA, he used to be an investigator, a health investigator, before he went into alternative healing. He would spend his days investigating health mysteries and investigating various things to do with health, and he uncovered an enormous amount of information doing that that has not been allowed into the public arena. And one of these things, that the areas that he began to understand, was the nature of DNA. And even you talk about mainstream science, they understand that it's a crystalline substance. And what it is, it's a transmitter-receiver. And this is exactly what these Russian scientists, Nicole, came up with. An appendix in the book, I actually put at the back of the book the report that these Russian scientists came up with to explain what DNA was, and they call it a transmitter-receiver. And because it's holographic, because the nature of our reality is holographic, one of the great characteristics of holograms is that every single part of the hologram contains the whole of the hologram, the whole picture. If you take a holographic print and you cut it into four, you don't get four quarters of the whole picture. You get quarter size whole pictures. And it's for this reason that in alternative healing, for instance, they can find the whole of the body in the foot, the whole of the body in the ear. The whole of the body, of course, exists in terms of information in every cell, because you can grow a whole body from a cell. That has to be so if the body is a hologram, because every part of the hologram contains the whole. And what we're dealing with in terms of the matrix is what I call a super hologram, in which all the other holographic forms exist. And therefore, every part of the matrix has to be a smaller version of the matrix itself. And again, what these Russian scientists came up with was that the body itself is a matrix that works, and I would say, that works exactly like the matrix that we live in on a bigger level. This is how, for instance, the body organizes itself. When there is a cut on the skin, the body reacts with intelligence to make it heal. When you have a liver that is toxic and would pour toxins into the bloodstream, what the liver does, using intelligence, consciousness, in this body internet system that it has, we call DNA, is it holds toxins in the liver to stop them causing problems throughout the body. So as anyone knows, really, mainstream or otherwise, the body has an innate intelligence which is reacting to situations and making decisions based upon them. And this is what the matrix as a whole is doing. So therefore, if we have a central processing unit, a brain, then there has to be, at the super hologram level, the matrix itself, a similar process in which there is a central, quote, computer processing the information that it's receiving and giving out, just like the brain does. This is what this reality is. It's a holographic internet. And just like the internet that we experience, you could go into a website, and I could go into the same website, and we're seeing exactly the same website, but what you think about it, and what I think about it, what I make of it, what it says to me, what it makes me feel, whether I like it, whether I want to pursue it, will be different to other people. the same with the holographic internet that we call physical reality. We experience the same basic scenes, but what we make of them can be completely different. And, you know, the analogy of the internet is absolutely spot on, the more I understand this, to the nature of the reality that we're experiencing.
It's interesting that web pages and internet are coming up in this analogy, because I actually had a weird epiphany myself a couple of years back about that, and it's making a lot of sense. It's almost spooky. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, as you know, I do my own website, newsforthesoul.com, and I was learning about HTML coding and learning how to put things together, and you would do it in HTML code, and then you would view in browser to see what it would come out looking like, you know, how it would appear as. But it's not, that's not what it was. What it was the code behind that. And I suddenly saw us, I mean, everything in our physical world, we have a code, you know, water, H2O, oxygen, O2, you know, but there's a code for everything in our quote-unquote physical surroundings, every element on the planet, and then it would come out looking like, you know, I saw this direct connection, like, it was like, oh my God, we're computer programs or something, but I get it, you know, and it's funny that this, it's very interesting, this is coming out for you too. I'm wondering what this means then if we're, you know, logged on to this virtual holographic internet, so when we log off.
Well, this is another thing that has come to me. First of all, what you say absolutely fits in with everything that I've written in Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is an Illusion, is illusion, because it comes down eventually to coding. I mean, the whole of it, a computer and the internet and all this stuff, is based on one and naught. And how those two things operate. As you said, in the whole of the internet, when you're posting things onto websites, I've actually done some of that this week and getting my own head around it. And it's a series of codes. And suddenly those codes become words, size of words, colors, backgrounds, everything. But the actual base of all those amazing graphics and all the things you see on the internet, great creativity, are actually number codes.
Yes.
Now, when you looked at the Matrix movies, what outside the Matrix they were looking at on the computer screens were a series of codes. But they weren't seeing codes, they were seeing street scenes and people and cars and what have you. Now, in the book, I came across a series of codes, a DNA codes for a species, I don't know, it was human or whatever, but it was just a DNA codes. And when you look at them, the series of, what is it, AC, G, and T, it looks just like the codes on the computer screens in the Matrix movies. And I started to understand, Nicole, how things like sacred geometry and this Fibonacci numbers sequence, which you find throughout nature, where you add the last two numbers to get the next one, like 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. This sequence can be found in the human form in terms of facial features and how far apart they are and all this stuff. You look at the pi proportions, golden mean, all these things, and you start to realize that these, what we're looking at in these recurring numbers, numerology, these recurring distances and mathematics, is actually we're looking at the codes of the matrix, which then manifest themselves as physical reality. I quoted a guy in the book here, Stephen Marquardt, I think his name is, you pronounce it, Stephen Marquardt. An American doctor, he studied Fibonacci number sequences with regard to the human face. And again, in nature, in plants and all that stuff, this Fibonacci number code sequence keeps recurring over and over again. And he concluded this: all life is biology. All biology is physiology. All physiology is chemistry. All chemistry is physics. All physics is maths. And that's what in the Matrix it comes down to. It comes down at the end to mathematics. This is where you get all these esoteric coding and stuff from. And I've added, or said in the book, that he might have added also that all mass is energy and all energy is consciousness. And he would have completed the whole sequence. Because we are talking here about the nature of physical reality, or what appears to be physical reality. We're talking about the nature of the physical form and the fact that it's a computer. And there is another level, of course, which is consciousness. And for the terms of the book, I define consciousness as that which is beyond the matrix, which is beyond the physical form, because everything is conscious. But I've defined consciousness for the terms of the book to be that which is beyond the physical, that which is infinite, that is which is connected to the infinite, that which we call soul and beyond soul, because we get confused between the two, and this is one of the key traps that we fall into. Consciousness, experiencing this matrix, experiencing these biological computers we call bodies, confuse who they are and identify who they are with the computer, and they forget that they're the operator, and therefore the computer takes over. The more that I've understood this, it's clear to me that what that we call mind and emotions are actually part of the program, and that they are not what we are. They're part of the program that we call the physical body. What we call consciousness is beyond mind and beyond emotion. As someone once said, we are not our thoughts, we are the silence between them. Now that silence between them is silent because it doesn't need to think. It doesn't need to work it out because it's all knowing. That's the level that we've got disconnected from. We are all knowing. All knowing does not have to sit and go through, and how does this work, and oh God, no, let me work that out again. Give me that again, I just let me think about it. When we say things like, I've got to think about it, we're working on the level of the biological computer, not consciousness, which knows. It doesn't have to think and work it out. And it was interesting, one of the points I've made in the book is that when you talk to psychologists, and people like Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, talked about this, and it's kind of very much mainstream psychology, they talk about archetypes. Archetypal personalities that you can get almost every person, if not every person, and you can break them down into archetypal personalities and subtypes of that personality. Now, all knowing infinite consciousness, all knowing infinite love is all possibility. That's what it is. All possibility. So how can you possibly break down personalities into some 12 archetypes? If it's infinite consciousness at work, you can't. But you can if what is happening is you are dealing with archetypal computer programs. And I talked years ago about the fact that I felt that there was this battle going on between the physical body and its inherited traits and in its inherited what I would now call program, and consciousness that was experiencing through that physical form. And the more that I've understood the kind of stuff we're talking about here, the plainer and more obvious that has become. Most people are not coming from the point of who they really are, infinite consciousness, the silence between the thoughts. They are identifying with the physical form. And therefore, using the horse and rider analogy, the horse is calling the shots, not the rider. The rider is just sitting there following where the horse wants to go. In other words, consciousness is at the back of the bus, using another analogy, while the physical form and its program is driving the wheel. And I've said in the book that I think there are three basic types of people in the world. And again, what people say is, I'm only human, or it's what makes us human. What makes us human is not consciousness, which is infinite all possibility, but the program which makes us human. We are identifying with the form, the computer, therefore we are human. Therefore, that is a horse, that is a tree. And these are all computer programs. And so we have got caught in identifying with a computer and not identifying with consciousness, which is what we really are. And like I said, I've come to the conclusion, going through all this, there are three types of people in the world, basically. There are one that are pure software programs. There is no consciousness, in my definition of consciousness for the purposes of the book, in there. It is just following a program. A And I would suggest that these Illuminati bloodlines that I've been talking about all these years are actually expressions of that. And this obsession with interbreeding between certain families is exactly the same principle, although much more sophisticated, of course, of downloading two computer programs into one, which becomes the child. They are trying to hold this particular program, which in the physical sense we call bloodline. It's actually a program. So that's where we get this lack of emotion, lack of empathy with the victims of the actions of these Illuminati bloodlines. Because, as a voice said to me in Brazil when I was in another state of consciousness a couple of years ago, if a computer was programmed to abuse a child, would it have any qualms about doing so? Would it question it? Would it have bad feelings about doing it? No, because it's a program and it just follows the software. So that is what I would suggest these Illuminati bloodlines actually are. They're programs without consciousness in the terms that I'm talking about. The vast majority of people on the planet at this time, I would suggest, are in the second category, which is that they are consciousness incarnate, for want of a term, that they have so identified who they are with the program, the computer, the biological computer, the DNA, and all the information and inherited traits that it has, that they are not riding the horse. The horse is telling them where to go. They are identifying with the program, not who they are. And that is the vast majority of people. And they can express their consciousness in various ways, very, very nice ways, positive ways, very pleasant ways. They can be very loving expressing that consciousness, but that because they so identify with the body as being them, they still get caught in the matrix by thinking the illusion is real, by not realizing it's an illusion in the first place. The third kind of person on the planet, I would suggest, and the smaller number at this time, but it's growing rapidly in this wake-up time that we're going through, are those that are consciousness incarnate, but they have started to reconnect beyond the program. They've started to override the program, which consciousness, you know, I mean, compared with consciousness in its full power, the program's like a two-stone weakling. But when you don't realize who you are and you identify with the program, then you're giving it power over you that it doesn't need to have. And these latter people are those that are waking up, that are starting to see beyond the illusion, that are starting to be in this world but not of it in terms of their perception. And they're the ones that are bringing into this illusory reality knowledge that is denied to everyone else and has been denied for this period of control that we can chart back through history. And so the latter, the third group of people, is growing all the time, and it's that group that are going to bring an end to this illusory prison that we've been living in. And the prison, in its basic form, imprisons us because we believe it's real. We believe we're not in control of it, when A, it's an illusion, and B, we control the illusion, if only we realize we do.
Wow. Well, I don't want to focus too much on that first group, but I should ask the obvious question, which is, who or what is driving those programs?
Well, there is a force, and this is the next level that I'm moving into, that is controlling and driving, as you put it, this collective reality. And what the nature of that force is, I've not fully understood yet, but if I was asked to give my strong opinion, I would say that force is us. It has to be us in terms of the big us or the big I, because we are all one consciousness in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, we talk about having a light side and a dark side. When you are at the level of infinite consciousness, all possibility, infinite consciousness in awareness of itself, then you're dealing with oneness, you're dealing with unity. What we've got in this matrix, and again, it has to be to manifest as it does,